Most gracious and eternal God in heaven, it's once more again we approach thy throne of grace and of mercy. Father, we come here with heartfelt thanksgiving, thanking you for being, first of all, an awesome and wonderful God, a God who has stood by us through the good times as well as the bad times, a God who sits high and looks low and knows all of our every being. But yet you wake us up every morning and you touch us with your love each and every day. And Father, we are so thankful for the love that you have for us. And Father, you demonstrated that love to us when you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for the sin of the world. And Father, we are so thankful for that wonderful sacrifice that was made on our behalf, a sinner. Father, we thank you this morning for this worship assembly. We thank you for waking us up this morning to allow us to come out to this place of worship, to expressly thank you for all that you've done for us in our lives. Father, we pray this morning for Brother McCauley, that you would continue to bless him, dear Father. Watch over, guide him, and bring him back to that reasonable portion of help that he needs, the Father, to continue on in his life. Father, we thank you for Brother Thompson, Father, who continues to stand in need of your wonderful blessings. Watch over him, guide and protect him, dear Father. Give him those things that only you know that he stands in need of. Then, Father, be with all of us here today, this whole congregation of people that have gathered here to worship and to glorify your name. Bless us, Father. Give us good health and strength. Watch over us and guide us, the Father, along the way. Help us, our Father, to always look to you for all the help that we need. And, Father, be obedient to your word and obey your word and to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Father, we pray, the Father, as we stand before you today, we stand before you a people that are sinners, Father, that need repentance. And Father, we need forgiveness of those things that we come fall short of in this life. Father, we know that we come asking for forgiveness, the Father, that you would give us those things that we need in order that we may walk in the right path with you. And Father, we just thank you this morning that you blessed us to wake up early this morning, to witness the dawning of this new day, to come out to worship you, to sing praises and glorify your holy and divine name. We thank you this morning. For many did not wake up on this morning to see this new day. But you blessed our golden moments to roll on just a little bit longer. Father, let us not take advantage of this day, but let us take hold of this day and learn from this day and to realize that tomorrow is not promised to us, that we must live today as if it was our last day. And if we are outside of the church, let us make a decision today to be a child of God and put on Christ in baptism before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Father, we need you in this world, for there's so much that's going on. So many lives are being lost. So many people are dying young, dying without Christ. Father, we need you down here. We can't live in this world without you. We need you, Father, to help us to one day get home to be in heaven with you, where there'll be no more suffering, no more dying, no more crying, but there will be everlasting peace in your sight. But Father, before we get there, we got to acknowledge Jesus Christ. We got to put him on in baptism. And we got to worship you. And we got to serve you unto death. Then we leave this world. Father, we just thank you this morning for this worship service. As we sing songs of praise and adoration, as we lift up our voices and songs in prayer, let it be a sweet smelling savor unto your nostrils. May our worship be acceptable to you, and may you be pleased with the things that we do this day. When all is said and done, may we be edified, and Father, you be glorified in the things we do this day. And Father, when it's yours to call and ours to answer, when we stand before you on that last and eternal day, may we hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest. And Father, that would be good enough for us. What sweet words we would love to hear on that last and eternal day, where we can go home and live in one of those mansions that you promised us in your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and amen.
Good morning. Scripture reading be taken from John 19, verses 28 through 30. John 19, verses 28 through 30. And it reads, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word.
A bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes. And there will be a bright tomorrow, bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. It makes no difference what the world may say, Lord, I'm going down on my knees and pray, and there will be a bright tomorrow, a bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes. And there will be no more dying, no more dying when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be no more dying, no more dying when Jesus comes. It makes no difference what the world may dying, no more dying when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes. And there will be no more crying, no more crying when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be no more crying, no more crying when Jesus comes. It makes no difference what the world may say, Lord, I'm going down on my knees and pray, and there will be no more crying, no more crying when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be no more sorrow, no more sorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be no more sorrow, no more. sorrow when Jesus comes. It makes no difference what the world may say. Lord, I'm going down on my knees and pray, and there will be no more sorrow, no more sorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be a bright tomorrow, a bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes, and there will be a bright tomorrow, a bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. It makes no difference what the world may say, Lord, I'm going down on my knees and pray, and there will be a bright tomorrow, a bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. Oh Lord, when Jesus comes. Amen. Good morning. Don't you hear books, page 401. 401. Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan, serve no more. The promised prize, the winner, thou mightst be when life is o'er. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou
books of page 272. 272 be the song of this morning's message. Page 37 in your blue folders. My song. I love to praise Him. I love to praise His name. I love to praise Him. I love to praise His name. I love to praise Him. I love to praise His name. Whoa, I love to praise His holy name. 'Cause He's my rock, oh, He's my rock. Don't you know He's my rock, my sword and shield. He's just a wheel, He's just a wheel. In the middle of the wheel, I know He'll never, don't you know He'll never let me down. He's just a jewel, He's just a jewel that I have found. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Well, I love to praise His name. We'll sing hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Well, I love to praise His name. We'll sing hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Well, I love to praise His name. Oh, 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 I love to praise His holy name. 'Cause He's my rock. He's my rock, don't you know? He's my rock, my sword and shield. He's just a wheel, He's just a wheel. In the middle of the wheel, I know He'll never,
I love to praise His name. Because he is such a great God, we ought to, as we have sung this morning, praise his name. We praise him this morning because he watched over us last night while we slumbered and slept. He suffered no hurt, harm, or danger to befall us. He woke us this morning in our right minds. We're able to exercise the right use of our limbs, a reasonable portion of our health and strength, and we are now at this place praising his name. And for that, we are thankful, and we are thankful for all who have come, who have had the mind to come this morning for the express purpose of praising his name. We thank you for being here, and especially if you're visiting with us, we don't count you. We don't take your presence here for granted. We thank you for coming because we know you could have gone other places this morning, but you chose to come and be with us. And for that, we are extremely grateful. And certainly, if this is your first time, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. They'll be asked for in a later part of our service. We want to certainly acknowledge and recognize that you're with us on this day, but thank you for being with us. Number 272, I believe it is, 272, has been announced as our song of invitation this morning. The title of that song is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And we are trusting this morning that all of us who have decided to follow Jesus will continue to follow him. And if we have any this morning who has not made that your choice to follow Jesus, we hope we'll say some things this morning that might encourage you to become a true follower of Jesus. So when we're standing and singing that song, if you need to respond in any way, we hope that you would do that before it's everlasting and eternally too late. We're looking at a passage this morning from the book of John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Let me reread the passages for emphasis' sake. Beginning at verse number 28, the Bible says, after this, and of course the verses just preceding that, we knew that they had hung Jesus on the cross. And he has now basically said goodbye to his mom. And he has said to the apostle that was there at the cross to behold thy mother. And of course he said to the mother, behold thy son. And then the Bible says this, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it up on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Or he bowed his head and died. Among all the words that Christ spoke while here on earth, and all of his words were wonderful words, But these last three that were spoken just before he died rings the loudest and the sweetest in my mind. If they had not been spoken, in reality, we would still be without hope of ever seeing that bright tomorrow that we started off singing about today. If these three words had never been spoken. But just before his death on the cross, as the scripture reads, he uttered three words that brought hope in reality to a dark and a dismal world that was drowning in a sea of hopelessness. Those three words are in verse number 30, and I'm sure you've already picked them out. It is finished. It is finished. Do we realize the significance of those three words? It is finished. Again, the scripture that was read said that he said, I thirst. And this was a fulfillment of Psalm 69 in verse 21. Well, the Bible there says, they gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So when Jesus then again had received this vinegar, he said these wonderful words, it is finished. What do these words signify to us this morning? I believe there are four things, at least four things, that these three sweet words signify. Number one, they signify that God's love for mankind was magnified. I say God's love for mankind was magnified. We are aware, I'm sure, of what sometimes is termed the golden text of the Bible, John 3 and verse 16, where the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. That love for God was magnified on the cross. God sent his best when we were at our worst. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, beginning, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love was magnified. God's love was realized at its greatest degree when Christ uttered those words on the cross and gave up the ghost when he died. This was the greatest love that could ever be extended to anyone. No wonder Jesus says in John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And if God did that for us, then certainly John comes along again and was inspired. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. What are we willing to do this morning for our brethren? Jesus extended the greatest love to mankind when he died on the cross. No wonder Paul could say that this gift, that is, this gift of love that was extended to us, it was indescribable. And so he renders it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for his what? Unspeakable gift, indescribable gift. There is really, really no way to really adequately describe what God did for mankind. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus said, it is finished. God's love was magnified when Jesus uttered those words, it is finished. But not only was God's love magnified, but something else those words signify to us this morning, that God's grace, God's unmerited favor toward man, God's grace was personified. God's grace came to the world in the person, that's what the word personified means, came to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Moses was a great man. Elijah was a great man. But they were not as great as Jesus Christ. No wonder on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter got excited because Moses was there, and because Elijah was there, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And I'll say to us this morning, grace didn't come through Moses. Grace didn't come through Elijah. But grace came through Jesus Christ. It was that Jesus who hung on the cross and said, it is finished. John chapter 1. Verse number 17, the Bible says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus came and that Jesus died on the cross. And so it was God's grace being personified in Christ Jesus. We are aware this morning that the scripture teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 5 that we are saved by grace. Oh, listen to what Titus chapter 3, as Paul writes to Titus as he was to instruct those Christians that were in Crete. He says in verse number 4, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So when Jesus said, it is finished, that was the culmination of the grace that had come to save us. I'm thankful this morning again that Jesus didn't come down off that cross, but he stayed there and said, it is finished. And that grace that came through Jesus Christ, it is available and it reaches out to all mankind. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Are you thankful this morning that God's grace reaches all mankind? Oh, I'm thankful this morning. The Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Hebrew writer was encouraging them not to give up on
that grace that came through Jesus Christ, not to give up on Christ Jesus because they were struggling, because they were having difficulties in their lives. And so even I encourage us this morning, don't give up on Christ because we have struggles in our lives. We need the grace of Christ. We need the grace of God in our lives. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Hebrew writer says this, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus, the Hebrew writer says, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned, the Bible says, with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, not just some men, not just most men, but for every man. Jesus tasted death for every man. He said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost so that every man could have an opportunity to be saved from their sins. Oh, I'm thankful this morning that Jesus says, it's finished. It was grace personified. When Jesus hung on that cross and he gave his life a ransom for many. And this morning then we can access, I noticed I said earlier that it was made available. It was made available, and since it's made available, that means I can access it. We all can access grace by faith. Oh, I know there's a teaching that would have you just to stop reading at Ephesians 2 and verse number 5 that says you are saved by grace. But that's not all the scripture says. The scripture goes on and says that faith got to come into play. That's faith on our part, on your part, on my part, on everyone's part. They must exercise faith in order to access or to have the benefits of the grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 beginning, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access. We can enter into grace by faith. I like to say it like this, that faith is the key that unlocks the door to grace. If we ever want to have the benefits of the grace, we got to exercise faith in what the Lord has done for us. So the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, he says there, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. Then he goes on and says in the next verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, there's nothing we can boast about because we don't deserve it. So we can't boast about coming here singing this morning. We can't boast about coming here learning from God's word. We can't boast about giving of our means. We can't even boast about partaking of the Lord's Supper. We can't boast about living a faithful and a godly life. Because if it were not for grace, none of this would matter anyway. And so when Jesus says, it is finished, oh, that gives us then the right to do what God says and to know and believe that God will do what he says. So the Bible says again in hope, Titus 1 and verse 2, of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It was all because of grace that we have an opportunity to be saved. So I'm thankful this morning again that Jesus Christ uttered those words, it is finished, because that was again the culmination of God's grace that he extended toward man. But then there's something else that those words, three sweet words, signify to us this morning. Those three words signify to us this morning that God's sacrifice was qualified. I said God's sacrifice was qualified. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, beginning. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, that was some precious blood. That was the most precious blood. That was much blood shed in Old Testament time, but none of that blood was sufficient. None of that blood was qualified to take man's sins away. Sacrifices had to be done every day. Read the book of Leviticus sometime, and you'll see it had to be done every day. Blood had to be shed every day, but all that blood could do was just roll man's sins forward. It was not qualified to take away man's sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1, beginning, "For the law, having a shadow of good things, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Verse 4 says, "For it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." The blood of bulls and goats, again, could not redeem us. All it could do was roll our sins forward. But when Jesus died on the cross, we could be redeemed from our sins. You see, it took a perfect sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. And only Christ could qualify to be that perfect sacrifice. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, "Who did no sin," speaking about Jesus Christ, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." I'm thankful this morning that he was that perfect sacrifice. Oh, yes. You see, all mankind was corrupt. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." No man nowhere could qualify. No animal anywhere could qualify to take away man's sin. It had to be the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So again, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that was the culmination of that perfect sacrifice. So then we need to continue to look to Jesus for the cleansing of our sin. So when Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished," yes, indeed, we see that God's love was magnified. We see that God's grace was personified. We see that God's love was magnified, God's grace was personified, and God's sacrifice was qualified. But we also see something else. We see that God's, all out of all that God did, man now could be justified. And without being justified, we could never see God's face in peace. Oh, don't we serve a good God? God knows how to fix this thing. He knows how to fix this thing. I believe one of our sisters, Stone, said we already got the plan. In this morning's Sunday school lesson, we need to just work with God's plan. God knows how to fix this thing. So, all of what God did then, because of this, man can now be justified. Oh, I'm thankful again that Jesus says, "It is finished." Oh, it is finished. Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse number 24, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe in him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Oh, that's wonderful. We've got to stand justified in the sight of God if we ever expect to get to heaven. And only Jesus is the one that can justify us. He's the only one that can justify us. His resurrection from the dead is the crowning act of our justification. Yes, that's the heart of the gospel. That's what the gospel is based upon, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Justification then comes through the faith that we put in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The law could never do it. It could never bring justification. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16, knowing that a man is justified by the works of the law, is not justified, I should say, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that you might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Excuse me, works of the law. For by the works of the law, the Bible says, shall no flesh be justified. All we need is Christ. We needed Christ to say those words. We needed him to be buried in the heart of the earth. We needed him to be resurrected, because without that happening, we could never be justified. Yes, you see, it is justification, or the means of justification, as to how we can be declared righteous before God. Now, we could never be declared righteous before God if it were not for Christ rising from the dead. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I want us to notice something about this passage. You notice how he says, declare his righteousness? He didn't say declare your righteousness. There is no righteousness about us that could be declared. In order for us to be righteousness, God got to declare his righteousness on us. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what justification is all about. Somebody says it like this: justification means just as if you've never sinned. But you see, we all have sinned. But in order for God to look at us just as if we've never sinned, he's got to declare his righteousness on us. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21 that God, the Bible says, made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we, the Bible says, might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. In order for us to live a righteous life, God expects for us to live a righteous life. But he knew we couldn't do it on our own. So he sent his son so that he could declare his righteousness on us. And so when we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ by doing his will, God, when he looks on us, he sees his son when we are doing his will. Because he cannot look on sin and approve of it. God would never approve of us if he just looked on us. So he had to send his son. In other words, the son is between us and God. That's what the Bible talks about. He says he's our mediator. So God can never look on us in our sin. He's got to look on his son. Because that's the only way he can see righteousness in us, by sending his son, who was righteous, to die for our sins. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? I'm thankful this morning again that Jesus said, it is finished. Because if he had never said it was finished, he never would have died. And we'd still be in our sins. But you know, that wasn't possible anyway for him to do that. Because remember the place that I just said, talked about in Titus chapter 1? God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Jesus was going to stay with the plan. He was going to work God's plan I know in his flesh, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he also said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He says, I'm going to stay with the plan, because the only way that I can get an unrighteous world to be righteous in your sight, I got to die and be buried and be resurrected again. Jesus worked with the plan. So he said, it is finished. No wonder the scripture says this about him. As we read, as we began this morning, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he knew that he had done the Father's will. And so he said, now after all, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. The Bible says that they gave him that gall and vinegar. Then he hung his head and he said, it is finished. Thank God for those words. Are those words sweet? Those are sweet words. It is finished. Thank you, Lord, for staying on the cross and finishing it for me. And I hope all of you can say the same thing. Thank you for staying on the cross and finishing it for me. Because you see, if he hadn't finished it, we'd still be some unfinished business. Thank you, Lord, for staying there. Oh, he's a great God. He's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. Thank you, God, for sending your son to die for me. As I close in this morning, are you here this morning and have not put your faith and your trust in Jesus? I want to encourage you then this morning to let those words be sweet to your ears, because the only way you can leave this world and face God in peace is that you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not obeyed his gospel this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. Hear and believe the beautiful story of the crucifixion, how God loved you and how Jesus died for you and how he went into the heart of the earth and was buried and how he was resurrected the third day. That's that gospel that Paul declared to the Corinthian Christians when he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein you stand, wherein you believe, and where you're saved. If you keep in memory how that Christ died for our sins and how he was buried and how he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the good news of the gospel. Why not believe in Jesus then as the Son of God? Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And then be buried in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. And Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, I'll save you. Do you want to be saved? Then put your faith in Jesus. Obey the plan of God. Let him save you from your sins. And then live a godly life. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of, to the will of God, I want to encourage you to turn away from whatever it is. Turn back to your faith and your trust in Jesus by obeying his every command. Or if you're here and you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, we're encouraging you to come. You can come and you can find help. Jesus is standing ready to give you help in the time of need. But it's all because he uttered those three words. It is finished. If he hadn't uttered those three words, it is finished, he wouldn't be able to help us. But because he came to work the plan and did work the plan, he uttered those words. And he can help us. He can save you from your sins. He can help you in your struggles. Yes, he'll receive you back if you repent from your sins if you're walking contrary to his will. All because he said, it is finished. So why not come to the Lord this morning? If you need to come, while we're standing, while we're singing, will you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Would you come this morning if you need to? Would you come? Would you come?
Still will follow, no, not you're with me. I still will follow, no, not you're with me. I still will follow, no turning back.
That one that would come this morning, would you come? Would you come?
Tarry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. I'll follow.
We have one soul standing in our midst this morning.
Hi. I have sinned, and I repent of my sin, and I ask prayer for the righteous. And I'm asking prayer for my son, Rokeith, and I'm still asking prayer for Sebastian, still being in a lot of pain. And I'm asking prayer for Helen. She don't have Medicaid, and right now she's having a little time with some problem. God knows what it is. And I'm asking prayer for her. And I'm asking prayer that God will bring my children back to him, and that Bassie will obey the gospel. And I'm asking prayer for my ex-husband, that he will obey the gospel also, and that he will do what God will have him to do. Thank you.
Thankful, Sister Julia, she has stood, and you heard her statements. We're going to be praying for her. Let us go to our Heavenly Father on her behalf. Oh God, our Father, we are so grateful for your love that you have expressed to us through Jesus Christ. We're grateful to your Son for all that he has done for us. And because he has done this for us, O Lord, we can now come to you to find the help and the strength that we need in the time of need. We're prayerful on behalf of Sister Julia, dear God. We pray that you would bless her with the confidence of knowing that repentance of sin yields forgiveness from you. You take these sins and you will cast them far away from you as the east is from the west. So help her then, O God, to be able to continue through life's pathway, striving to be a better and a stronger Christian in your sight. We pray on behalf of the children, dear God, which you would bless them in a mighty way, and strengthen them according to their needs, and we pray for those who are not faithful will become faithful. Those who have not obeyed the gospel will obey the gospel. Prayerful on behalf of our ex-husband, dear God, that he will hear the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ and obey it before it's everlasting and eternally too late. So continue to bless her and just stand by her and be all that she needs. Thank you again for her this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
let our minds reflect back on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died to death that we might live, for the remission of the whole world's sin. Paul gives an example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through verse number 29. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. At this time, we're going to ask our brothers to lead us in prayer for these men. Let us pray.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask that you bless this bread that represents your Son's body. Lord, we ask that we be in remembrance of his death, burial, and the resurrection. Lord, we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Let's continue prayer. Father God, we thank you for the greatest gift of all. You giving your Son to lay this down for us. Father, we ask that you
16, verses 1 and verse number 2. It say, now concerning the collection for the saints, that I give orders to the church of Galatia, even so to ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor and store. God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let us pray for this collection. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this collection this morning. We pray for those that have to give, as well as we pray for those that have not to give. We pray that the manner of giving will be well pleasing and acceptable unto you. We know that you love us.